They're making us a sign. So we're going to be talking a little bit this morning about signs and kind of Jesus talking to disciples and talking a little bit about signs. So they're making us some signs. So I think they're going to do a great job. I asked them what are some of the signs that Christmas and Jesus are coming. They gave me some good answers. The discussion question that I really asked them about, though, that I wanted to know is things that they're looking forward to. It's really interesting when you ask a kid what are the things that they're looking forward to. It's kind of like, I know it's coming, it's just whenever it's going to get here. So I just wanted to read a few of these answers. Number one answer, obviously, is Christmas. We're looking forward to Christmas. How do they know Christmas is coming? You'll just have to ask them. They seem to know. So they know Christmas is coming. They're positive it's coming. They're excited about it. I also got going home and getting to be lazy. So, man, I think we can all really appreciate that, right? Another one was they're looking forward to school. I mean, that's a good answer. I can hear some the teacher in the back goes, yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. So that's a good kid there. Somebody's doing a really good job. The other one was their dogs getting along. And so my question was, do your dogs not get along? No, they don't get along currently. So you're looking forward to your dogs getting along? Yes, they'll get along. I don't know when, but I look forward to them getting along. That's hope. That's hope. Some dogs never seem to want to get along. We also had reaching a new level at gymnastics. So this is great, right? I know it's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take a lot of sweat, but I'm going to get there. So it's coming. I'm looking forward to it. And I'll get to that next level. So that kind of hope. And then, of course, Christmas was the big one. When you look forward to something, it's because you know that it's coming. And if you know that it's coming, you're getting ready for it. So when all of our children came over to the table, and so many of them had said they look forward to Christmas, I said, well, how do you know that Christmas is coming? They said, well, lights, Christmas trees, Thanksgiving starts to get cold. All these signs let them know that indeed Christmas will arrive. They're certain as their dog's getting along, reaching the next level at gymnastics, being able to go home at some point and be a little lazy. They know that it's coming. And so they look forward to it. I'm in a class, a Dave Ramsey class, Financial Peace. Michael's leading that here at church, and several of us are in it. Dave Ramsey was talking a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, you need to plan for emergencies and have money set back for emergencies. He said, it always is funny to me, Christmas time, people call in and they say, you know, Dave, our bank account's bottomed out. We're having to take out credit cards and stuff. And he says, why? And they said, we had an emergency. He said, did somebody pass away? Did somebody get sick unexpectedly? And they said, no, we had to buy gifts for our kids. And he said, so you didn't know Christmas was going to be on the 25th again this year. You know, that's not an emergency. Here's the signs. You missed the trees and the lights. What did you say, guys? You said the cold, the trees, the lights, right? The other holidays that lead up to it. Like, how did you not know that this was coming? Here are all the signs. And he said, I've only asked that follow-up question a couple of times because people seem to get really, really put out with me. Because there's nothing more embarrassing when we get caught than to miss a very obvious upcoming reality and just for it to kind of just go right over our heads, to not anticipate that something very obvious, all the signs were there, and yet somehow we miss it. Jesus talks a little bit to his disciples about that in Luke chapter 21. I want to read you this passage of Jesus speaking to his disciples from the Gospel of Luke. Here we go. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations. Confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves, people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not ever pass away. Be on your guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, so that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. So be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus is saying there are going to be signs that your redemption's near. The word redemption literally means that you're in a debt that you can't pay. repay, so you're kind of imprisoned to the debt that you have no means of paying for yourself. And to be redeemed means somebody comes along and takes the price away on themselves, and so you're set free. You're delivered from the price you couldn't pay. He says to the disciples, this is good news. Your redemption is coming. And listen, there are going to be signs, you know? So I want you to just pay attention. Here are some of the signs. And Jesus begins to say, you know, when you see these signs, your redemption is drawing near. He says it's like when spring comes. And the leaves start to bud. I mean, what would you do if somebody ran up to you in May and said, I don't know what to do. You said, what's wrong? And they said, it's summer. Well, yeah. How did this happen? Well, I mean, when the trees, you know, the buds and all, Like, how did you miss this? He says, like when you look at a fig tree in spring or any of the trees, and you see them budding out, and you go, well, if the trees are budding, well, then obviously spring is going to arrive in its fullness, which is going to lead to summer, right? So he says, in the same way, there are going to be signs on the earth. Listen, I love this. These are not like little signs that you can miss. The sun and the moon and the stars and the seas and the nations and the waves and the chaos. These are like cataclysmic, enormous, universal, cosmic signs that something is going on in the world. And Jesus says, the signs will come and you'll know that your redemption is drawing near. So, he says, pay attention to these things. He says to his disciples, the kingdom of God is near. And he says this, you know, it's at hand. You can almost touch it. It's that close. It's that anticipation, you know, when you get near Christmas Day and you look into a kid's eyes and you can see that Christmas is at hand, you know. He says, so be ready. And then he says, this will never be insignificant. The fact that your redemption is close, that it's near, that it's coming, and that there are signs to look out for. He says, there are a lot of things that become irrelevant in our world. Nations come, nations go. Political powers come, they go. Fashion trends come, and they go. Even world and life philosophies come and go. But he says, even if heaven and earth pass away and become irrelevant, seemingly, the words that I'm saying to you, the reality, the truth, that you should anticipate the coming of your redemption and deliverance, that will never become irrelevant in your life. My words will never pass out of meaning. They're here to stay. This is eternal stuff, Jesus says. And he says to them, after all, I don't want you to be caught when the time comes that I come and bring forth your deliverance, the Son of Man. That's a word that harkens all the way back to the beginning of our story in Scripture, to the Old Testament. Harkens back to a vision that was given to a young man named Daniel by God. I mean, it harkens back to this one who, it's only through this one that all the promises of life and peace can ever be brought. When that person comes, that man named Jesus, When Jesus comes and brings our deliverance, he says, I don't want you to be caught like it's a trap. What's heartbreaking about this to me is that is exactly how the disciples were caught. He said to them, there's going to be just listen to the terminology here. If you skip to the end of the Bible and you know the story, I see that sign. I like it. If you skip to the end of the story and you're looking for the signs, right? And you read Jesus and Jesus says, cloud, ascension, you know. Nations will be in chaos, you know, the moon and the stars. And then we read the story of Jesus and the coming of deliverance. And the disciples had all these signs. And Jesus had warned them. And Jesus had told them that their redemption was coming. This is not bad. Their freedom from a price they could never pay. But when it comes, what happens to them? They're so, I literally love it how Jesus at one point says, don't fall asleep. You know what they do? They literally fall asleep. And so when Jesus comes, when Jesus is in the midst of bringing redemption in the cross and resurrection, what happens? They're scared to death. They're caught like it's a trap. They scatter. They lock themselves up in rooms. They refuse to acknowledge the fact that they know anything about Jesus. And they're terrified. And it just breaks my heart because Jesus is saying to them, listen, the whole earth, no one excluded, is going to experience the coming of the Son of Man. There are signs to pay attention to. So be alert. Be ready. Be looking for the signs that I'm coming. And we don't want to be caught like the disciples who, despite all the signs, Despite, you know, Dave Ramsey says, so you didn't know Christmas was coming, even though, you know, all the... So even though Jesus said, somehow you missed that. There's so much hope here. It's funny to me how sometimes we talk about the coming of the Son of Man and our redemption and doom and gloom and all this stuff. We love to concentrate on the idea that maybe the sun's going to turn black and all this stuff. When in fact, Jesus is saying to them, hey, I'm coming. Don't think I'm not. I've gotten to a routine in the mornings when I get Jude ready. And Jude goes to Jamie's house Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and she watches him all day. And I go get up in the morning, and I change him, put on his clothes for the day, get him all clean and dry, and then I give him his bottle, and I set him down and in his chair. And I literally, I've learned that the minute I walk out of the room, he's going to start screaming. He does. Those of you who think that he never cries, he cries. Trust me, he screams. I remember me and Katie read several books leading up to having children, and one of them said, you got to understand that we know that if I'm talking to Jake and Jake says, hey, I'll be right back, and Jake leaves the room, I know Jake is still there, right? Jake's just not in the room, okay? I know that Jake's not like gone poof out of reality, okay? Because that's just obvious to me. But children, when they're young and they're babies, it said, remember, they don't grasp that if they can't see you, you're still there. If they don't see you, you don't exist. You don't exist in their reality because they don't have the comprehension. And so, like, I know, like, I walk out of the room and he starts to cry, and I'm like, he thinks I'm not even a... like, don't even exist, you know. And I would scream, too, if every time somebody left the room, I thought that. And so I've gotten to this routine, and I don't know if yet he can comprehend, where before I leave the room that final time, he's sitting in his chair in the kitchen, and I open the window. He loves to look outside and kind of see everything going on. And I'll take his little hands in my face and I'll say, Jude, Daddy's going to go into your nursery, and I'm going to get your bag ready for the day so you can go to Jamie's house and have lots of fun. I'll be right back. I'll be right back. And then I run. And as soon as I get out of the room, you know what happens? Bah! You know. What? I just, you know, and I come back in and Jude, you know. I've learned to just have to let him scream a little bit to get him ready. It's as if Jesus is saying to his disciples, listen, I'm not setting any kind of a trap for you. I'm not setting you up for failure. I don't want you to go, well, I guess since we don't see Jesus around and we can't quite experience him the way we once could, I guess then just Jesus is gone. And I guess just God has left the building and just poof, there's no more reality of the presence of God. Jesus says, listen, I'm coming right back. I'll be back. I'm just getting things ready. I'm working on your behalf, and I'll be back. Don't fall into chaos. Don't come to pieces thinking that I don't care or that I'm not there or that I've ceased to exist. I'm right here. I'll be right back. There's such hope in that. I wish so bad that my little son could understand that I'm not abandoning him. Think about that. It's hard for us to... I'm coming right back, and I wish so bad that he could have the comfort of knowing. I wonder if sometimes Jesus looked at his disciples and God looks at us in our freak out moments and thinks, but I'm coming right back. Just remember what I said. These words will never pass away. So Jesus is saying to us, I don't want you to be caught like it's a trap. My words that I will return, my promises that redemption will be fulfilled, they're not in order to bring you anxiety or stress or to make you constantly live on eggshells as if at any moment you'll condemn yourselves. I'm not trying to make you nervous wreck here. I'm trying to say to you in comfort as your Savior, I'm coming back. You're not abandoned and left alone. Jesus goes on from there. And he gets to the end and he says to them, make sure that you're ready. Be alert. Don't get distracted. It's kind of interesting as he talks to the disciples. They're headed into Jerusalem. I'll be honest with you, I don't know how much drinking was going on during the holiday of like Passover and all that stuff. But he says to them, you know, don't get drunk. Don't get distracted. Be alert here. I want to make sure that you're ready when the day comes. And pray for strength. You know why he says pray for strength? Because Jesus doesn't give a definite calendar date. And by the way, it was never Jesus' intention to leave us with some kind of a mystery to try to unravel over the ages. Jesus is simply saying, when the time is complete, when the work is done, I will return to you and I'm coming back. Listen, It can be exhausting living in anticipation unendingly, right? I remember I just saw a post the other day of someone on Facebook. Katie was showing me of a woman standing there, and she's 39 weeks, and it says, "I'm ready for this baby to come," you know? And I remember Katie, those mornings that she would wake up and she'd say, "I still don't have a baby. I think I'm going to die," you know? And I can't imagine that. Anticipation, that just the waiting. And Jesus says, so pray. You're going to need strength to stand and to stay alert. So pray for that strength, because it might be a long journey. And remember, this is not about trapping you. It's about reminding you, it's about letting you know that you're a people who are always on the edge of your seat, because any minute I'm coming back around the corner, I've never actually left, and I'll complete all the work that I've intended. On Thanksgiving Day, I don't know about all you guys over there, kids at the table, but for me, when I was a kid, all Thanksgiving meant was that Christmas was at hand. I didn't really care about turkey that much. Christmas was coming. We were on the road to Thanksgiving at my mama's house this year, and I called up my niece and my nephew, the two that you know are getting ready, and I called Clara up on the phone, and my mother was in the car with Clara, and it came over the car. I said, "Hi," and I hear Clara say, "Hi, Uncle Joshua." I said, "Hi, Clara." She says, "Uncle Joshua, guess what?" I said, "What?" She says, "Santa Claus is coming on Christmas Day. Christmas is coming." I said, "I know. I'm so excited." She said, "I'm so excited." She's three. And I said, "What do you want to get from, what do you want from Santa? What are you asking for?" And, forget the fact Thanksgiving just means nothing, right? We're just on, here we go. And so, I mean, she just goes, and all this, you know, it's amazing if you can just get kids going on what they want. I mean, it's just wild, you know? And so I'm just sitting there in the car, and then she's just going, you know, with this stuff that she wants, and I won't get into all that. And finally she took a breath, and I said, "Clara, Clara, Clara." And she said, "Yes, Uncle Joshua." And I said, "Clara Kate, you know that Santa Claus comes to good little girls, right?" And she says, "Yes, I know." And I said, "Do you think you've been good enough for Santa Claus to come and see you?" Long pause. "Clara, are you still there?" "Yes, Uncle Joshua." And now I can hear my mother, her Nana, snickering. "Clara, do you think that you've been good enough?" She's a three-year-old. "Do you think you've been good enough for Santa Claus to come?" And after another, I can't see her face, but I know her face. Long pause. "I'm struggling." I said, first of all, three-year-old, I said, "Have you ever heard that from your dad?" "Maybe, you know." I'm struggling. So serious, you know. So anyways, you know, I said, "Well, listen, I appreciate the honesty. I'm sure Santa does too. Just do your best. And, you know, we'll pray that the Lord will help you just be the best little girl for Jesus you can be," whatever. So hang all the right things to say. Hang the phone up. "Call my nephew, Jameson." Aunt picks up the phone. "Hello?" He's in the car with his daddy and his papa, and he's on the speaker. And as soon as I answer, of course, I say, "Hello," and Jameson, over the top of Papa and Daddy, "Hi, Uncle Joshua. Hey, Jameson, are you coming to Mamaw's house?" "I'm coming to Mamaw's house." He's six. "Coming to Mamaw's house." "Well, all right." I said, "All right, what, are you looking forward to being at Mamaw's house?" He says, "I can't wait for Christmas." I said, "Yeah, man, Christmas is coming." I said, "What, is Santa Claus going to come see you?" Yes, Uncle Joshua, Santa Claus is coming." I said, "Okay, what do you want from Santa Claus this year?" 10 minutes, right? I mean, just all this stuff, just everything, you know, going down the list of it. I told, you know, okay, wow, Santa's going to be busy. So, you know, finally he takes a deep breath. I say, Jameson, "Yes, Uncle Joshua, you know, Santa Claus comes to see good little boys." Which that just sets him up, because he's my brother's son. So he says, "Yes," and it gets real serious. This is a thing, Claire and Jameson both, real serious, and Katie can hear him on the other line, real serious. "Yes, Uncle Joshua, I know." I say, "You think you've been good enough for Santa Claus to come see you?" Long pause. This pause was so long, I thought I'd lost signal on my phone. So I said, "James, are you still there?" He says, "Yes, we're still here, Uncle Joshua." "Jameson, are you going to answer Uncle Joshua?" He says, he doesn't say anything. I said, "Jameson, are you there?" "Yes, Uncle Joshua." "You think you've been good enough for Santa Claus to come and see you this year?" Long pause. "You still there, Jameson?" "Yes." "Well, maybe." I said, "Maybe." He said, "Maybe." I said, "Well, what if you had to say yes or no?" And he says, "I don't know yet." I said, "Okay, well, keep me updated." I'll get back with you, you know. And he would just laugh and say, we'll just pray that you're the best little boy that Jesus wants you to be. And, you know, just hang in there. And Santa Claus will appreciate the honesty, you know, all this stuff. He called me last night, FaceTime with me to read me his letter to Santa. And he was very humble in his letter to Santa, at least. There's good humility there. He's his father's child, so he needs all the help he can get. But I love this childlike serious. This is serious, right? I mean, we laugh. This is serious consequences here. Santa is coming soon. And when you ask a question like, you know something's coming, are you ready? And a child will take that very seriously. And they'll stop and they won't laugh around. And even a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old get very serious and take time to consider their answer. You know, Jesus says to his disciples, I'm not trying to catch you in a trap here. This is not about, you know, setting you up for failure. The thing is, I'm coming right back. I don't think you're abandoned. Don't think you're lost. I came the first time when I said I would. I'm going to come again. I'm coming right back. Don't fall into chaos. Don't think you're abandoned. I'll even give you signs. They'll be pretty obvious, just like it's obvious when a tree buds that the seasons are changing. I'm coming. I'm coming. So just wait, but be alert, because this is not irrelevant for any of you, and it will never be relevant. Listen, I myself have often fallen into the trap of neglecting the reality for the now that there is a yet. Let us not neglect the yet. Be alert, Jesus says. Stand fast. Pray that God will keep you from getting sidetracked and discouraged and distressed and, you know. Because Jesus says, I want you to be ready when I come. Because here's the thing. When something's coming, no matter how wonderful, like all of us being completely delivered from all the things that Jonathan said in his prayer before about broken families and wars in our world, there's something there. And Jesus says, I want you to be ready for that. And listen, I don't want in the midst of anything you face for you to think that suddenly no matter how big the chaos, no matter how great the roaring seas, no matter how enormous the nations that come and their powers that seem to rule, nothing that my coming and the words that I've said to you will never be irrelevant. Be ready. Pray for strength to be ready. So I really think this morning that, band, will you come up? I think this morning that we need to ask this question. Come on, band. I think we need to ask this question. Are you ready? Are you alert? Are you standing fast? To be a people of anticipation, That is just a posture of being this morning that is powerful. Because let me tell you something. Our children, their posture is changing probably over the next month because something is coming. To anticipate a reality as enormous as Jesus coming. Are you ready? I want to beg you not to answer a question like that frivolously. I'm not asking you if you're ready for your condemnation, for the failure that Jesus... I'm not asking you if you're ready for all things to come. I'm asking you if you're ready for the door to open and Jesus to be standing in the doorway and go, Jonathan, back. Here I am. I told you I'd be right. Here I am. How terrible if we look at Jesus with stress or anxiety or terror or fear. Imagine how disappointing it would be for the one who gave everything that you might be free to open the door and find that you're in dismay instead of joy. Are we ready? The band's going to play some instrumental music because, man, I'm reminded every Christmas, I love it. Jesus says if we don't receive the kingdom of God like children, we can't receive it. My nephew and niece knew good enough not to just spit out the canned answer, but to think for a moment and consider themselves for something that is nothing compared to the eternal question of our readiness for our King to come. Are our Savior, our Lord, our Comforter. So would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? I'm not going to ask for any decisions or anything like that. I don't want to rush something like that. What I want just this morning is for us to take a few minutes. The season's going to get so busy, right? It already is. We're just running, trying to keep all the boxes checked, trying to keep everything done. Here we are at the start of it. Let's just stop. Let's just stop. Are you ready for your Redeemer to open the door with arms wide open and say, I told you, here I am? Will it be a trap or will it be a glorious day and a joy to receive? I want to ask our kids, guys, you have any of your signs ready? Will you come, if you have your sign ready, and just stand right here and show them to everybody? Is that okay? Come on up. If you've got them ready, come on up. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hold them up. We want to see them. Look at this, guys. Look at this. So these are signs that Christmas is coming, that Christ is coming. Look at these signs. Here we come. You know, when you live in anticipation, and this is going to move us, transition us into what we're going to be talking about next week, which is really that anticipation leads to preparation. When you're anticipating something, you can't help but just start to get ready for it, right? We put up, let me see, guys, show me what you got. We put up trees and lights and decorate our house and get gifts wrapped. That's right. We get ready. If we know that Jesus is coming, what are some things we do to get ready? One of the things we do to get ready is we begin to live as if our world needs to be ready to receive Jesus. So we've been really, really blessed this year with opportunities to do that. One I mentioned earlier, which is the Angel Christmas Tree, Angel Tree Program. Another one, if you brought snacks, thank you today. We are going to be feeding all these snacks, and some of you still have them on your chairs with you. When you get done, if you have snacks, you can bring them up after service to one of these speakers. And those are going to be feeding Atlas children in the Barfield community that our Barfield Nazarene sister church asked to help with. We've also been given the opportunity to do angels for the tree. Then this week, right after I talked to Salvation Army, Katie called me and said, the Atlas director for Blackman Elementary just came in and said, we have 4 students in the Blackman community who need help this Christmas. Would you be willing to help with some necessities for these 4 children? And I said, you know what? All we can do is give opportunities. So up here on the stage, we have all these angels. We have 4 light bulbs here because the Blackman Elementary mascot is the Sparks. If you get one of those, after service you need to see Katie because we don't have details yet. We'll have those details this coming week if you get one of those 4. If you get one of these angels, remember you need to bring the stuff back on Sunday. Make sure you bring the gifts back by then. Kids, can you hold out? Can you stay where you are? All right, would you stand with me? The kids have made their signs. Let's make ours as we sing together and declare the coming of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to get an angel and participate in that, or one of the Blackman Elementary children, come forward at this time. You can grab one of those off the stage.